The Popmatic Podcast. There's no jokes this time.
Aww.
I was going to make a joke about Boba Fett being here, but Boba Fett isn't here. I was going to make
jokes on you.
I know, the joke is on me. Wait, I just thought of a joke. A librarian walks into a bar. That's the joke. I thought you thought it was funny, you know, because every time I walk into a bar, people just start laughing. I don't know. That was funny. But Boba Fett isn't here, but I'm Brian.
I'm Bill.
Crystal.
Lisa.
Amanda.
Star Wars. Hey, we're going to talk about fanboys later.
We are going to talk about fanboys.
So that'll be good. And then we are going to talk about adult summer reading.
Woohoo!
Maybe teen and child summer reading, too.
Everyone reads.
Just
child
summer
reading.
Summer reading. Exactly.
Reading a child.
And then maybe what tickles our fancy. Because we're experts, right?
Yeah.
Our fancies have prominence. Everyone's nodding their head, but no one's saying anything.
We can't talk that.
I just walked into a bar. So first we got to talk about some of the things that are happening at the library in June. That's what I thought. No, two cool things are happening in the library at June. They're both Salon at 615 author events. June 5th. Jeff Shara will be here. I think he's going to promoting Rising Tide. That starts at 6:15. The lecture will probably start at 7. And then June 14th, Richard Ford will be here. And he'll be talking about his new novel, Canada. And those are two really awesome authors. You know, not that I have a favorite, but I'm really excited about Richard Ford.
Isn't it a little ironic that the Canadian guy's coming to talk about his book on Flag Day?
Yes. Yes.
The significance was not lost on you.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
It's a thinker.
If I had to choose, like, you having your book club, read him on an off month, or have him just not come, I would definitely choose book club on the off month. That is really cool that Richard Ford's going to be here. So that's just a series of really awesome events that we're going to do. But what's the coolest thing we're going to do in summer? We're going to tell you in the next segment. The coolest event happening in June is summer reading.
Yay!
If you read or attend 5 events at the library, or read 5 books, I guess, or listen to 5 audiobooks, and then you log them on our website, you could win a prize. You could win a tote bag, and you might think, well, you know, I already have a tote bag. You can throw your old tote bag away. This tote bag has stars on it. It has stuff about dreaming and reading on it. It's better.
It's cool. Of course.
You can carry your old tote bag in your new tote bag.
Even better.
Yes.
Or
brilliant.
You could carry your new Kindle Fire or new tablet that you could win as a grand prize in your tote bag. But you have to read, and you have to listen, and you have to go to programs. Now, some of you I know are very excited, but you can't start logging until June 6th. I bet some...
June 2nd.
I thought it was 6th.
The website says 6th.
Oh.
Let's read the fine print.
Oh.
This my star chart says June 2nd, summer reading events at your public library begin.
That's like parties for kids.
And well, that's a Saturday.
And I think it's June 6th.
Wow, that would have been helpful to know. Thank you, Brian.
We'll have the proper information in the show notes.
Much like Steve Jobs, I suffer from a reality distortion field. Amanda is correct. You can start logging your summer reading activities and books June 2nd.
You get credit for more than just doing the books, though.
There's right, I was going to say, you don't necessarily have to read 5 books. You can attend a program.
Uh-huh. You can download a song from Freegle.
You can download a song.
Write a poem.
Or you can even just read a poem if you don't want to write one.
You could write down the poem that you read. Does that count?
You should get 2 stars for that, but that's
to yourself.
Probably just...
Larry Price, I'm emailing you about this. okay. That was the best joke I've had yet. That's
still at the bar, though.
He's mad. Larry's mad because he probably will get an email about that, for real. So, all the stuff you can do, except swimming, doesn't count.
Unless you read while you're swimming.
Oh, geez. You're making it too hard.
I know.
But we're going to tell you, the experts, the experts here in the room, Bill, and everyone else is going to tell us what to read or what to listen to or maybe even what to write or where to swim. But Amanda's going to start.
Yay. I always try to pick an insanely long book to read in the summer because I feel like I'm going to have time. Even though when I go on vacation with my family, they don't really let me, you know, read. So last year I read Outlander, which is, I think, 1,000 pages long. So this year my goal for summer reading is to read the second one in the Outlander series called Dragonfly in Amber, also just as fat. But I did find out today that it is available in ebook form. So that's very exciting. So I have my hold on that, and hopefully that will go well. A couple other books are coming out that I'm somewhat excited about. A new Laurel K. Hamilton book comes out on June 5th. So that would still be in time to record, even if it is the 2nd or the 6th. It's called Kiss the Dead. I'm not the super biggest fan of hers anymore because her books have kind of all started to sound the same, but the library gets them for me, so that's so nice of us. So why not read it? And then the new Jim Butcher book comes out, the Harry Dresden Cold Days, the beginning of July. And so that one I'm very excited about as well. And I also wanted to mention, since you can download songs from Freegal for the summer reading, that we just got Jack White's new album, Blunderbuss, is available for download, as is One Direction, which I know Brian's going to run downstairs and download all their stuff. So if you're looking for something to download, check those out, and happy summer reading. Lisa, what are you doing?
I was just thinking about it. I haven't got a new book suggestion, but we have a ton of travel guides up in the nonfiction area that we've just gotten in. We're thinking about planning a trip to New Orleans, so I've got Fodor's 2012 New Orleans on my desk. You can save $30 by looking it up on the National Public Library website. So type in your destination and see if we have it, and maybe you could find some tips and tricks about summer vacationing.
I just want to say that before we started, Lisa said she didn't have anything for summer reading, and Amanda just totally put her on the spot, and you did amazing.
I thought about it as I threw it to her.
Totally being
sorry.
You did great. You did great.
And I would like to point out one of the stars is read a book about a place you want to visit. So see that travel guides even fit into the official star form.
I was thinking about it. I just keep looking for books that aren't where they're supposed to be, and they're all brand new books on travel. So
they travel.
If you can find them, you can have them. That's all I've got. What are you reading, Crystal?
All right. I've got 3 books in series that's coming out this summer. I'm going to leave one for Bill to talk about. The first is Chelsea Kane's Female Serial Killer series. The next Gretchen Lowell book comes out in August, so I have that to look forward to. But in July, Deborah Harkness, her All Souls trilogy, book 2, is coming out, and that's going to be called Shadow of Night. Last year, her first book, A Discovery of Witches, came out, and what is it about, Crystal? Well, when I try to describe it for people, I hate to say this, but it's a little like Twilight, maybe, except for grown women.
Better.
and it's written so much better, and the characters are less clumsy. Discovery of Witches introduced Diana Bishop. She's an Oxford scholar, and she happens to be a witch, but she is avoiding all of her witchly talents and relying on her human skills, mostly her brain. And so she's doing some research, and she comes upon this weird manuscript. And she opens it, and something crazy, weird, magical happens, and she closes it real quick and puts it away. But then when she does that, all of these creatures start coming for her. They're drawn to her, including this handsome vampire who happens to be a geneticist, a yoga-practicing wine enthusiast. So we're deviating from the vampire.
Does he have a hot Cupid? What is the okay Cupid profile?
Yes.
Wine connoisseur.
Indeed. So they join forces and start to research together what this manuscript is all about. And book 2 comes out in July. The author is actually coming to Parnassus to do a signing, so I plan to go there and just buy my book. But you can place your hold. It's already on order in print and audio. The bummer is it's not going to be an ebook because her publisher is Viking, which is an imprint of Penguin, so they're not selling to libraries anymore. But place your hold on the print or the audio. And I'll just mention real quickly before I hand it over to Bill, I'm super excited about Fiona Apple's new album that's coming out. I'm not going to tell you the whole title because, as you know, she always...
26 words.
Just some 300-word poem or something to title. But it's The Idler Wheel. That's a shortened version. All Music said it was coming out June 26th, but her website is June 19th. And... got it straight from collection development. They're not ordering physical copies because all of her music is available on Freewheel. So you can go on there, I'm assuming, on June 19th to start downloading your tracks. She's coming to the Ryman Friday, July 13th, so buy your tickets now. All right, Bill, what you got going?
Well, here are the books I hope to read this summer. First up is my Christmas present from my boss given to me last year, Crystal, and it's called The Passage. It's by Justin Cronin, and it's the first novel of a planned trilogy. It deals with an apocalyptic world in which vampires are infected by a highly contagious virus. It's an 800-page book, and I've been saving it for the summer. I thought, this will be the time to read this book when there's no rush on and less to do. So that's what I'm hoping to do. I get a lot more reading done in the summer. I also hope to start reading Martha Gilhorn. Now, you're probably saying, who is Martha Gilhorn? She was a war correspondent for nearly 50 years, from the Spanish Civil War in 1937 through Central America in the 1980s. She was also married to Ernest Hemingway, which is probably what she's best known for, but there's a new movie made on HBO called Hemingway and Gilhorn, and it premieres May 28th. And I did an interview with the director of Hemingway and Gilhorn, who was Philip Kaufman, and he stated he hoped his movie would reintroduce people to the writings of Martha Gilhorn. So I thought, why wait? I'm planning on reading them this summer. Now, before I did this, I thought we had more Martha Gilhorn books in the collection, but we only have one called Travels with Myself and Another, a memoir, which is, too, a travel book. and I think the other and another in that book is Ernest Hemingway himself. But I've got a copy I bought off called A Stricken Field, which I'm planning to read, like I said, this summer. And I don't, if I like it, I'll just keep going. So that's what I'm reading.
Well, and you can always get the other books through interlibrary loan, should you.
That's true. And there might be a demand after this movie comes out. You never know. And the movie stars Nicole Kidman and Clive Owen.
I was going to say,
And a callback to your Justin Cronin real quickly. Once you read that, you'll be ready for the next book, The 12, which is coming out in October.
So that's good timing.
That's right. So those are my goals.
Awesomeness. So, keeping this series theme up, I'm really looking forward to reading Bringing Up the Bodies by Hilary Mantel. And this was the sequel to Wolf Hall, which Amanda and I did a discussion about the one time. And Wolf Hall wasn't the best book in the world, but the character of Thomas Cromwell that Hilary Mantel writes up is just really engaging person, and I've missed him. I think for those that, like, if you forget or you're out of the loop, it was a fictional biography of Thomas Cromwell, who was Henry the Eighth's, you know, sort of hatchet man who organized, you know, the break from the church and his different wives and, you know, taking some land from some monks. And I think in history and in Shakespeare, he's kind of a villain, but she writes him as sympathetic. And Wolf Hall was the tale of his coming to power, how he came to power. And I'm in... I would say disc 3 of the audio, and it's already like, you know, you can tell that Bringing Up the Bodies is going to be his fall from power. And I do think that it might be ahistorical, like, you know, she has a different take on Cromwell, but I think good fiction is always about characters, you know, and if you can write this really amazing character, she's sort of dreamed up probably what will be remembered as one of the great characterizations of, you know, like in modern fiction. And in the future, too, especially when everything's digital, it's not going to be two books, you know. It's just going to be one book, right? And it'll just be called, like, Thomas Cromwell. I'm a little bit disappointed that for the audio this time they chose Simon Vance, he's a great reader, don't get me wrong, right? He's a really great reader. You know, he reads a lot of books. But the first reader was Simon Slater, who's a British actor and composer. And I was so enamored with the job he did that even like 2 years later down the road, I was like, I put it in and I was just waiting. I was just like, because I didn't know if it was going to be, but then as soon as Simon Vance started reading, I was like, that is not the same narrator. And I was so disappointed. For those of you who don't like fiction, who are like, we don't care about your pretentious fiction books, Brian, like, even though I was going to say Bringing Up the Bodies is really popular, so it's probably like one of the more popular things I've ever talked about on the podcast, but if you like some nonfiction and you're traveling, I'm tying it all together here, guys. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they pay me to do this. Empire of Shadows, The Epic Story of Yellowstone by George Black. History is always stranger than fiction, so when you're out climbing a mountain this summer, know that the people who made Yellowstone Park were all nuts and crazy and maybe a little evil by most standards. So enjoy your pine trees, enjoy your stones. But that's for the nonfiction folks. Empire of Shadows probably has a shorter holds list than Bringing Up the Bodies. Just saying, you know, just if you want to balance that out. That's all I got. Okay, first up on our team of experts, what's tickling our fancy is Lisa, who I've just made nervous.
I was going to say a little bit about the author event that we had. This would be last month now because we'll be in the next month from now. It's hard to tell with these things. But I got to see Sissy Spacek here at the Salon at 615 event. And while I waited an hour and a half in line to meet her, I got to get a good way through her memoir, which is called My Extraordinary Ordinary Life. And unlike a lot of movie star biographies, it doesn't start in Hollywood, but rather her barefoot upbringing in Texas, where she was, encouraged by her parents and her two brothers to become anything. And what she became was a really cool movie star who was extremely nice in person. So I got my book signed. Salon at 615 was great. And everybody should get the book, which I'm sure we have like a million copies of. What's tickling your fancy, Crystal?
Well, if you remember last month's podcast, I was really excited about The Deep Zone by James M. Tabor. Well, it turned out to be crappy.
I hate when that happens.
But I went back and picked up his nonfiction book about caving called The Blind Descent, and it's a quest to find the world's deepest cave, and it is so awesome and scary and totally true, and I'd highly recommend it if you like adventure stories. How about you, Amanda?
Can I say, is it yep. The first time there's ever been a rollback on the Pop-Matic podcast? Be like, yeah, you should hear for this.
Nice. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That was tickling my fancy, and then it kind of started to chafe. like we got to go, you know, change in tone, right?
Yeah, it was too bad. Like, the first 50 pages were awesome, and then it just lost its focus.
And you're all about the climbing books, too, usually, so if you didn't make it.
Yeah, so I've been on the top of the world, uh-huh. And now I've been to the bottom.
Now you've spanned the gamut. Yeah. I like
there
it.
There you go.
All on our podcast.
Just for our podcast listeners.
Your turn.
So for anyone who's listened to this podcast, and we love all two of you, Crystal has mentioned and Jesse has mentioned a book called Ready Player One by Ernest Cline, and I finally caught up with them and just absolutely loved it. So if you're looking for a good book, that's definitely a choice. Ernest Cline has actually written, that's his only novel that he wrote, but he had written a screenplay for a movie called Fanboys, which I think Crystal had mentioned too when she talked about the book. And I actually just had a chance to watch it lately. And it's good. I didn't think it was quite as good as the book. It was pretty good. The premise is four high school friends have graduated and they're in their mid-20s. And it's right about the time that The Phantom Menace is getting ready to be released. And so they make this pilgrimage from the Midwest, I think it's like Ohio or somewhere, I can't remember exactly, over to Lucas Farms in California to try to break in and try to steal, you know, a copy of the film and watch it before everybody comes out and everybody else gets to see it. And so the story follows them, lovely bunch of nerd trivia references. Of course, there's a ton of references to Star Wars, the films. My favorite part was the Carrie Fisher's cameo. You just have to watch. I'm not going to spoil it for you because it was brilliant. The one thing I didn't care for was one of the four guys is terminally ill. You don't really ever know why. I thought that kind of was a little bit smooshier than it had to be. It would have been a whole lot more fun if they could have just gone and just, you know, saved the world and blown up the Empire. But an excellent watch. We have several copies here at the library, so feel free to check one of those out. And Brian, what was tickling your fancy?
Well, let me ask you, who narrated Ready Player One?
The audiobook?
Yeah.
Evil Will Wheaton.
Evil Will Wheaton. And that's just, like, plays into what that book's all about, right?
Yeah, and like, he even mentions his name at one point.
Yeah, exactly. So it's super
weird.
Cool.
It was kind of weird. For it was him. Surreal.
Well, Will Wheaton has become the Lord of Geeks.
He really
you know,
is.
There's like that Philip K. Dick story, King of Elves. It's like Will Wheaton has become the Lord of Geeks. But, so related to Will Wheaton, and this is why he does cool stuff like this, he has this new show on YouTube called Tabletop, where he gets his other, like, B and C list celebrity friends together, and they play a board game, and they talk about the game, whether they like it or not, and they explain the rules and what it's about. And that is so geeky and so nerdy and so awesome. I just love it. It's just amazing. So I think that they have a bunch of videos up on YouTube, but I think like three of them are actually episodes. And they talk about Small World, Settlers of Catan, which is sort of the Citizen Kane of contemporary board games, and Zombie Dice, which is probably something that you don't know about unless you are a gamer nerd. So check that out. Will Wheaton. Hey, man.
I don't think that any other celebrity could get away with that either. Like, if Brad Pitt sat down and played board games with people, like, people might watch it just for sheer morbid fascination, but, like, it's cool because
they want to see what the inside of my house looks like. They'd watch it. Me and Brad Pitt playing board games.
Yes. I could be very cynical and say maybe Will Wheaton has played this up because he realized it's a way to spin his career, right? Like, I'm doing all this geeky stuff. I'll go to your gaming convention. I'll do your whatever. He's just, like, marketing himself. Maybe he hates board games. Maybe he's like, hey, these nerds. Ugh.
He's just such a good actor.
Fan people, get in line. I'll sign your book. Thank you. Yeah, I was on Star Trek.
Action figures.
Yeah. You know, anyway, no, I think Will Wheaton's a nice guy. You know, never mind. That's all I got, Will Wheaton. But Bill is going to tell us.
Bill is going to blow your mind.
He's trying to get some free stuff here.
He's going to tell us about a literary masterpiece.
No, well, I'm just saying, let's say you're in the Bell Court area and you went to the local art cinema, the Bell Court, and, well, instead of going for that cappuccino talking about the movie, just head up to 2127 Bell Court, just up the street on the left, and then it's in a house, and go to the Dog of Nashville. You've got all kinds of wonderful hot dogs to choose from. You got your classic chili dog, your slaw dog, your Diet Starts Tomorrow dog, your fiery redneck, and the Philly dog. Ooh, the Philly dog. It's got mustard, sauteed peppers, onions, mushrooms, and melted cheese. Highly recommend it. It's open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. It was the 2011 Reader's Choice in the Nashville scene for the best hot dog in Nashville. And it's just nice. Last time I went, it was just kind of a rainy afternoon, and it was cool, and just had a hot dog after the movie, and it was just a very pleasant experience. So I thought, well, geez, this beats a cappuccino any day, or going to one of those other snooty restaurants or places on Bell Court. So I highly recommend the Dog of Nashville.
I get the one thing, the Nashville Scene's readers poll, they're always biased towards the west side. That's all I'm saying. So you know, east side represent. I don't live
so
there.
So that's how good this must be.
Yeah, I dream of Weenie over on the east side.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also the Cornish Dog on West End, which I've been to. You have just tons of selections. But there's something, just doesn't have that atmosphere. It's just, the one I'm recommending, the Dog of Nashville, is just, it's just nicer.
What's that place that's like right downtown here? Kind of like south of downtown core. You know what I mean? I think it's called The Hot Dog House? Is that what it is? But there's hot dog houses everywhere. Listen, ye business, I'll link to you too. Because I can't remember your name.
I just want a hot dog now. Now I'm hungry.